Good morning, everyone. So I'm here to talk to you about an investigation that we did at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment in the summer, late summer, early fall last year. We were investigating two salmonella outbreaks that occurred simultaneously and had indistinguishable PFGE patterns. So I think we all know about salmonellosis, but it's bacterial infection of diarrhea, fever, abdominal cramps, incubation as low as 12 hours up to a week with duration of 4 to 7 days. And given that salmonella can live in the intestinal tracts of animals, we have many sources of salmonella. My favorite on this one is based on a recent outbreak I investigated of feeder rodents on the far right. There's actually a person feeding their little pinky to their snake. So a lot of sources we can definitely see as causes. So in Colorado, in September, we see a median of about 45 cases per year. Last fall, in 2014, we saw 80 cases of salmonella in Colorado that were reported through our Colorado Electronic Disease Reporting System, or CDERS. Between the dates of September 2nd and September 17th, 8 of the 35 cases that were reported in CDERS were Salmonella typhimurium pattern 286. And this pattern is relatively uncommon in PulseNet. They get about one upload per week, but we have definitely seen it before. It's a pattern, sorry, I call it O5U here. That's actually how we name them in Colorado. But pattern 286 is often associated with live poultry. There were 359 cases nationwide in 2013. You may remember that was an outbreak that was associated with privet hatchery in New Mexico. And in that outbreak, we had 54 cases in Colorado. Additionally, last spring, we had a more localized outbreak of this pattern in southern Colorado. 8 cases also associated, again, with this same pattern that came from privet hatchery, but was localized to one store, one agricultural store in southern Colorado. But of our cases, of the 8 that we had information on, only 2 or 25% reported any poultry contact. Additionally, they lived in a geographic area that was dispersed, so not how we normally see our poultry outbreaks look, not just localized to some of the more rural areas. So we decided to further investigate this a little. In Colorado, we are a decentralized state, so the local counties do the investigations of their salmonella cases. So we at the state collected all the questionnaires that had been done and took a quick review of them. We identified that there was high ground beef consumption among the non-Pueblo cases. So Pueblo is the city I was mentioning that is in southern Colorado, about 2 or 3 hours south of Denver. And in the Pueblo cases, we saw a lot of live poultry exposure. So our hypothesis was that these were two distinct clusters, and we also decided to have the lab initiate multiple locus variable number tandem repeat analysis, or MULVA, on the isolates to help further distinguish this. Additionally, we did use binomial results both from Oregon and the FoodNet POP survey to kind of look at this, and both indicated that ground beef was significantly different in this population than the general population, either using Oregon's numbers or the FoodNet POP survey for and looking specifically at Colorado data. So we decided to implement, we split these into two clusters, and I'm actually going to talk about them now as two separate clusters and then bring them back together at the end. So cluster A was, a case from cluster A was defined as a culture-confirmed Salmonella typhimurium with PFG pattern, 286, or O5U, with illness onset between August 30th and October 4th, with no live poultry exposure reported, and that they lived outside of the southern Colorado city. Predominantly, they lived Across the metro area, we have about 5 to 7 counties that make up the Denver metro area, and they were predominantly in this area, with a couple on the western slope on the other side of the mountains. These cases, these 12 cases, were also predominantly male and had a median age of 27 years. So that seemed to fit also our looking at ground beef as the source. So we decided to do an NHGQ on all of those cases. We were able to get 11 of the 12 re-interviewed with the NHGQ and noted that 91% reported ground beef consumption, 91% reported shopping at a particular grocery chain in Colorado, and 73% purchased ground beef at this particular grocery chain. And also of note was that 73% had dogs, and we were looking at that in case, you know, this was another pet treat kind of outbreak. So we decided to do a case control study. We used students from our local Colorado School of Public Health that had a COE, Center of Excellence interview training, to help us with the interviews. We also used two of our CSTE fellows that were at the health department to help us with this. And we employed a neighborhood-based case control study. So what we did was, if you go to whitepages.com and put in the phone number, you sort of can get the address of that case and then then phone numbers of the area around that case. So that could be a cell phone or it could be a home phone, depending on whatever is linked to there. And then you dial till you get someone. And we know how fun that is. We did match also on age group and gender. So we did, if you were under 18 or over 18, because we did have children in this group. And we focused on those areas of interest: ground beef, where they purchased it, what kind of grocery chains they shopped at, did they have dogs, did they feed them pet treats, and did they have any live poultry. Of course, we wanted to make sure that we weren't missing that on our initial interview. 10 interviewers made 560 calls, and we had a whopping 16 controls for our 11 cases. So some of you may have seen my colleague Rachel present yesterday about whether we should have stuck with the binomial results at the beginning and not put in so many hours doing a case control study, but we did, so we'll see moving forward what happens. We didn't identify that consuming any ground beef was associated with illness among our cases, and then purchasing ground beef from the particular grocery chain was also associated with illness. Originally, we had thought, based on information we had got, that this was specifically beef that was purchased at the butcher counter, so either already formed in patties or as whole ground beef from the butcher counter. But as our investigation sort of expanded, we did learn that people were buying it also already prepackaged in the styrofoam containers. So it was a little hard to tease out which particular ground beef was the culprit. While we were investigating this, we were able to get the MULVA results, and we had 12 of 12, or 100% of our cases, had matching MULVA pattern 1, we'll call it. So it definitely identified that we were looking into these clusters sort of separately for a good reason. We did go out when we had the suspicion of it being grocery chain A ground beef purchased at the butcher counter. We did go out and buy some and test it, but of course it was negative, not surprisingly. We did collaborate with CDC because they, at this time, also noticed there was an uptick in this pattern, and so they noticed that there possibly was a split into two clusters for theirs as well, with a few having chick exposure and some having ground beef exposure, and collaborated with FSIS to do tracebacks. We did get shopper card information on the majority of our cases, and they weren't all from grocery chain A. There were some from grocery chain B, so we're still not 100% sure on if it was higher up in the chain of ground beef. And unfortunately, our traceback efforts were unsuccessful and weren't able to identify nationwide any pattern of or localize it to any ground beef plant. Cluster B was, again, Salmonella typhimurium pattern 286, about the same onset, dates of onset. They reported live poultry exposure, and they resided in the southern Colorado Pueblo County. You can see here the differences between the two clusters. More males in cluster A, which we expect to see with a ground beef outbreak, and then a younger age group among cluster B, which we often see, of course, in a poultry outbreak. And then, of course, the fact that they were sort of distinctly located, one group in southern Colorado and the rest scattered across the state. With cluster B, we did do poultry-specific questionnaires on the cases, and 83% of those cases reported either purchasing animals such as poultry or poultry-related products at Agricultural Store B, which is the same store that was implicated in the spring of 2014, as where all the cases purchased their poultry. However, there hadn't been another big nationwide outbreak associated with the hatchery that we originally saw causing this outbreak, so that was of some concern to us. While we were doing this, we learned that the cases were very closely identified by MOLVA, There were two different patterns, but they were closely related MOLVA patterns, and they were distinct from the ground beef cluster. Our local, the local EH in Pueblo County and the EPI staff went out. While there were no chicks at the store, the store gets chicks or poultry in the spring and then in the fall. So this was in later in the fall when there was no one present, no poultry present. And they did some environmental swabbing of the area and of items. And they did identify, we did get two positive specimens with matching MOLVA pattern and PFG. So that made us feel like we were definitely on the right track for this one. Interestingly, since there were no chicks there, we had asked sort of what their process was for cleaning and things like that afterwards. And they basically, they did say that they sometimes sell used water pitchers or scoops for the food to people at a discounted price, and so we're not sure if the people were getting contaminated products or if the chicks were getting sick when they got there, because it didn't seem to be a nationwide problem anymore from this hatchery. So as you can see, we had all the cases peaked right around the same time, which is why we had trouble at the beginning figuring out what was going on, but all in the same time frame of August through October. And I think it just identifies how helpful it was to have all disciplines involved and really getting the information. We couldn't have done it without the serotyping, without the thorough interviewing, or without the inspection of the agricultural store. And I think, you know, we'll have to see how going forward if whole genome sequencing will make a difference if we had done this instead of MOLVA, but who knows at this time. And I just want to acknowledge all the people who helped out and can take any questions.